This podcast is sponsored by Sonos. Sonos is offering the listeners of Dungeons & Demogorgons 10% off one order of $2,500 or less for any product on Sonos.com. This offer is available for a limited time only and cannot be combined with other discounts or promotions. Use the promo code STRANGER10, capital STRANGER10 at Sonos.com to receive this offer. Dustin has found not a possum, not a raccoon, but what appears to be a polywog or tadpole. It's cute and has a taste for nougat, and Dustin decides to call him D'Artagnan after the Three Musketeers. Will, however, fears it's from the Upside Down.
Steve and Nancy are on the rocks after her drunken attempts to call bullshit on their relationship. Nancy turns to Jonathan, roping him into his scheme involving some unknown Radio Shack technology to apparently tell Barb's mother the truth, as someone from the government monitors her phone calls. Meanwhile, Joyce reviews Will's Halloween camcorder footage and makes a shocking discovery.
Hopper angrily confronts Dr. Paul Reiser about the pumpkin rot that seems to be centered once again on the Hawkins laboratory. Reiser is dismissive of Hopper's claims that his facility is connected, but nevertheless sends teams out to the field to conduct research.
Dustin brings D'Artagnan to school to see if Mr. Clark can give him credit for discovering a new species. Instead, the creature escapes while the boys and Max struggle to capture it. Eleven, tired of waiting on Hopper, decides to visit Mike and instead sees him and Max starting to warm to each other. Finally, Will decides to stand his ground against the visions that have been tormenting him with horrifying results.
Welcome to Dungeons & Demogorgons, the officially unofficial podcast for Stranger Things on Netflix. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And we just got done watching Season 2, Episode 3, titled Chapter 3, The Polywog. Not a polywog.
Not officially. Polywog. And not exactly a cute...
No.
Not exactly. Well, I mean, it is cute.
It starts off cute. I think it's terrifying, though.
Yeah. I'm terrified because... It's exactly what we speculated last time. It's these goddamn duffer boys are doing a Stranger Things take on the cute little thing from the Flight of the Navigator. And every time Dustin picks it up, I expect it's going to melt into his skin or jump down his throat or fucking gouge
spit
out
acid
his eyes.
Blood into his face, yeah.
It's not going to end well. And when he put it under his hat, I'm like, oh, no! No! You should be wearing containment suit.
It's going to crawl into your ear or something. I don't know.
Oh, God. Every episode, I feel like, has been better than the last. And this thing, like, it's going to be a real fucking struggle to not continue to watch it when I get home because it ends on the cliffhanger of all cliffhangers.
Yeah, man, that final scene with Will.
Dad!
That's truly horrifying.
Yeah. I wish I could be with my son to watch him see it because it's just, it starts off like it keeps getting like, oh, this stand your ground thing's not going to work. It's not going to, that's a tornado coming to you. And when it starts pouring in every one of his eye holes,
all his holes just full of gritty smoke, I guess.
Yeah. He's possessed by the smoke monster from Lost.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate just jumping right to the end, but it's usually the part I'm most excited about. So it's hard not to.
There's so much good stuff. Like this, like every once in a while, it's a struggle to sum up the episode and those little recaps we do.
But that's the thing. When we go and jump right into the end, that's where the audience left off too. So they're most excited to talk about the end.
Yeah.
Let's fucking talk about the end. What is this going to do to Will?
Well, so I feel like there's a bit of foreshadowing when they start talking about that Phineas Gage character that had the rod through his, that shot through his head and he survived, but he was changed. Yep. I feel like that. And there's like, we talked about like, when is kid logic going to come into play?
Yeah.
And it's already coming into a big way because the boys are like, oh, what if Will got the sight when he went over to the true sight, which allows you to see into the spectral realm or whatever. And now we got Phineas Gage as this guy who gets penetrated
in the worst way,
in his
head.
Well, I don't know. I might take the rod through my head versus death by smoke monster. But I feel like
Will... That's a pretty bad penetration as well.
Will's going to be changed by this experience.
He is, yeah. And I wonder if it's going to be all personality change or if there's going to be something...
I think it's going to be real subtle.
Diminishes him.
It's going to be real subtle. We know this has happened, and none of the other boys do. And it's going to be like a pod person kind of situation. Where
from the looks of it, he has basically told his mom everything that's happened with him. Right.
Right.
There was the one lie that we saw about the drawing. Like, what is that?
Yeah.
And she discovers that that's a lie. This episode.
I thought that was pretty cool too.
Do you think he's going to go to his mom and tell her what happened about this whole stand your ground thing?
If I was speculating, I think that's what the. I'm making a lot of assumptions, but
is
you asked the question,
able to?
So I think he's going to. I think the entity is merged with him and knows his thoughts, and he's going to go and say, all proud, like, "Hey, mom, I Bob gave me this great advice, and I stood my ground." He's going to be kind of like the model. He's going to be cured,
and it's all gone,
and everyone's going to stop worrying about him. But we're going to see some real freaky shit going on as soon as the doors are closed, or some crazy ass thing like that. Oh boy!
I mean, that doesn't seem like a huge change to me, because he's already kind of been like that, right?
I mean, he's getting more and more troubled. And from the adult's point of view, he's going to be kind of cured, and maybe, I don't know. And it would be interesting, like an inversion from last year, is if like Joyce buys in with it too, because she wants to believe that her, you know, it seems like with every fiber of her being, she wants to believe that their family can be normal and fine, and she might believe that, and maybe it's going to be the kids who are. Once again, left to puzzle the stuff together. I don't know. I mean, that's just my idle speculation. I'm completely fine with leaving this up to the Duffer Brothers to sort out. Because
by God,
they're doing work
for sure. I thought this was an amazing episode, and not just for the final scene, but I think like all the way like right from the beginning with Dustin finding the Pollywog or whatever we want to call it, D'Artagnan, Dart.
Yeah.
The whole scene with him. So I really wasn't on board with his mom buying this lie about the ghost trap, just kind of being modified. But once he got it into his room and he was playing around with it and gave it nougat and everything, I was on board. I liked it.
Yeah. I thought that the man, there's so many small points here that I noticed, like how much character they continue to build with Joyce when they do this. And it's all like we talked about. As we were live watching this thing, it's all with the editing, but like her calling the school to find out about the AV appointment and, the like rolling the eyes of the staff, and then she instantly hangs up, and then a smash cut to her Pinto peeling out. Like it's exhilarating storytelling. And there's also so many subtle points, like the cold open, well, not the cold open, but right after the cold open, after the title sequence, we see this continued backstory of Hopper, baiting his L trap. And she's remembering him bringing her to the cabin and for feeling like she's at home and safe for the first time. And she wakes up and she's got that little smile on her face at the memory. But then she remembers her current situation and instantly gives him the cold shoulder. I thought it was great. I liked this, like, there's other little touches, like Elle, she's furious at Hopper for this like friends don't lie speech and soon as when and when as soon. And she slams the door psychically, but she uses the hand, like she's 6 inches from the door and her psychic hand motion to slam it. Like if she just stepped over a half foot, she could have actually just slammed the door.
Yeah, without the nosebleed.
Yeah, she could have saved herself some nose capillaries. But there's just so many cool. And Dustin's curiosity voyage.
I need my paddles.
It's so fucking good. This kid, like, I thought Dustin was dangerous when he's missing his teeth. He's a four, like, it that, yeah, he comes back with a mouthful of teeth, and he's trilling his R's, and he's gotten his paddles, and he's like I said, I was always a Lucas fan, but goddamn, Dustin's winning me over this season.
Oh yeah, I've been on Dustin's boat since day one.
Yeah,
and I'm staying there.
Yeah,
I'm handing him the paddles.
Yeah, and the poor Mike. Mike's trapped in this little asshole cage that he almost breaks out.
Yeah,
with like Max's sheer charm and skating ability until. You know, it's funny because
I was shouting at the screen when Elle comes to that door. I'm like, don't assume anything, Elle. Don't assume anything.
But first of all,
you've seen him for 360 something days talking into the walkie. He misses you.
Right. And you're not there. But the thing is, she's a cipher. She's a blank slate. She's a little girl. She's on edge of puberty. And she's been fed, as you pointed out last episode, all these unrealistic relationships.
I thought you were going to say terrible food.
Yeah, that too. She's not thinking straight because Hopper's just got her on an all-eggo TV dinner diet.
All-sodium diet.
Yeah. She has the 8,000 calories and 8,000% your daily sodium intake. And she just, you can't properly function under those conditions. But she's also been fed that, like, you know, that emotional pornography, the fucking daytime soaps, and
yeah,
it's got her all mixed up, man.
Yeah, that does nothing good for you. Don't watch that stuff. The other thing that I really love is we come on these podcasts and we have all these questions, right? And we ask them, we talk about them, we say, oh, we want to know the answer to these questions. And then it seems like inevitably the very next episode,
I know,
they give us the answers because they have thought, what are the questions that people are going to be asking? And they're telling such a good story because of it.
They know exactly what they're doing to the audience, what the audience wants and what the audience needs. Mm-hmm. And it's such a refreshing change of pace for some of the frustrations that I've seen on other shows where it's like, you know, you roll your eyes or like, oh, wait till we get something. But no, like, you know, it doesn't really tease. This show just relentlessly pleases.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, maybe that's a consequence of it all being dropped in the same day. We don't have to wait a week between these episodes to really get all riled up about the questions.
But even like, if we have logical questions and the next week they're all answered, that's a breath of fresh air. The fact that we can get gratification, like the only thing stopping us from doing more is like doing this goddamn podcast and getting it out. I think it's great. I love the musical montage of you know, them cleaning out Hopper's granddad's cabin, which, of course...
Right, those are the questions I'm talking about.
You're right. It wasn't the trailer. It's granddad's cabin, and they're listening to Jim Croce, and he's teaching her how to lay your tripwires. And the montage of him establishing, from this place of trust, these ground rules of keep the curtains down, and then flash to L, throwing open the curtains. And
systematically breaking all
the rules.
Don't
open the door unless a secret knock. And she busts open the door. And he goes, it's the don't be stupid rules. And then she says, I'm not stupid, and steps forth.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe L, but you're already have been made as a Russian child provocateur. So,
yeah. Yeah, so the editing there helps a lot because you do see, you know, Hopper explaining the rules as she's breaking them. And then I think the other really just shining spot of editing here is that final scene with Will, where they're cutting back and forth between him being subsumed by the monster.
Right.
And him, you know, Bob or whatever his name is, saying, stood my ground.
It's easy
peasy.
And he
says, easy peasy, as he's being just totally devoured by this thing.
Yeah.
That was a brilliant stroke, in my opinion, and made it all the more horrifying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, Bob starts off about the, have I ever told you about the Mr. Baldo? Like, look, Sean, we get it. You're in Lord of the Rings. I want to hear about your Baldo Baggins bullshit, okay? Yeah. You got the fucking tattoo. It's Elvish for 9. We get it. Elijah Wood's got one, too. Okay, fine.
Is he 9? Is that what you're saying?
There's also, like, you know, there's 80s nostalgia. No, I just realized no one wears seatbelts in the show.
Yeah, you're right.
Because it turns out, like, you know, that you make it illegal and people start wearing the seatbelts. You mandate cars have safe, you know, airbags, and
yeah,
I don't know.
It turns out people use them now. Like, that's the thing. I get in my car and I, without thinking, put on my seatbelt. So
yeah.
I was thinking, if I was an actor on set that day, if I had like Bob's, Sean Astin's job or something, I would get in that car, I'd put the seatbelt on, they have to say, no, take the seatbelt off.
Yeah. Totally. I mean, it's crazy how, and then you wonder, I bet there's a study done how many lives have been saved on that.
Probably.
But it's all that, you know, like a balance between your freedoms and your fucking right to not have your head violently explode against a windshield. Can we talk about the Steve, Bobby, Nancy situation? So we surmise correctly that Bobby has put Steve in his crosshairs as the former king that he wants to violently depose so he can have,
I think his name's Billy, but yes.
Oh, is it Billy? I keep on calling Bobby.
Bob is Joyce's boyfriend.
Yes, it's Billy.
Yeah.
Is Steve being an asshole here? Because, like, age and his experience level and all the shit that Nancy was talking, like, I don't think he's completely out of line. I guess I feel for both of them. And Nancy but that's the thing. Like, Nancy goes, the John, who, why did he lie?
I don't know why he lies for Steve here. I really don't.
I don't think he lies for Steve so much as he just lies. Because, like, Steve doesn't want him to say, oh, yeah, please go home with Jonathan. That makes Steve look like more of an asshole.
Yeah, he definitely did not ask Jonathan to take her home.
Yeah,
he just barreled out the door.
I can't figure it out, but as soon as Steve, like, you know, is angry at the fight that they had last night, she goes to Jonathan and is like, well, mm-hmm. maybe it's right. You know, I feel like that.
Well, that's the thing. Like, Steve,
I feel like it came from a genuine place.
Yeah, I don't really fault Steve here because he tries to explain, you know, kind of in a douchey way. That's Steve, but he's mad and he's hurt, and he tries to explain what she did the previous night. And I guess, you know, when you ask someone to say they love you and they're unable to, that's kind of an indicator. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean,
she says, "Really? Really, you want me to do this?" But yeah. Then she's not able to do it.
Right.
And you can see on her face that she might be realizing, oh, my God, I wasn't able to say it.
No, if someone asks you, do you love me, and you have to hesitate
right.
and play, like, then you don't. You don't.
Yeah, no.
You might, I mean, maybe in the future you will, but right now you're not feeling it.
Sure.
That's, you know.
Maybe
not,
you did in the past, maybe you will again, but.
And it is not a perfect test because, like, someone could instantly say, I love you back and not mean it.
Sure.
But
yeah.
For damn sure, if a person's like, huh, hoo, huh, hoo, huh, they probably don't love you.
Right. So I can see why he gets upset here. But then, yeah, she goes to Jonathan and he lies. And he kind of, in a weird sort of gross way, turns the conversation back around to himself, which I didn't really like. I feel like he should have been more supportive.
Yeah.
And maybe listened instead of comparing it to his situation with Will.
Yeah.
But I guess Jonathan's going to Jonathan.
Hey, as we mentioned in the outset, today's podcast is sponsored by Sonos, who bills themselves as a home theater for audiophiles. Mm-hmm. No, that's not right.
Yeah.
Home theater for music lovers.
Music lovers?
That's it.
I love music.
I love music, too. Mm-hmm. And they make phenomenal home audios. I mean, it's some of the best I've ever heard. And, like, it's so easy to set up. Like, stupid easy. Crack it out of the box. You plug in the speaker. You put in your Wi-Fi password. Or you download their app. You put in your Wi-Fi password. And you're pretty much done. And everything that you add to the system or you add to your house is even easier because you don't have to.
Yeah.
It does all that Wi-Fi stuff for you. So they wanted us to try out their new One speaker, and they've upped their game because not only is this as good as the previous One number One speaker, this is the new ones are One speakers.
Yeah, Sonos One.
But they're actually adding
the Alexa service to it.
Yeah, so
voice input.
They're really cool. They're just essentially you can talk to this thing and ask it. You know, like, what's the weather, or play this music, or turn up the volume, or turn down the volume, or with Alexa, you can even ask it to order things from you on Amazon.
Yeah.
Like, I was skeptical when I first heard of these devices, because I've had mixed results when I try to talk to my phone.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what the difference of putting it into the form factor of a coffee can, but the voice recognition on this thing is incredible.
Yeah.
Like, I can be in the kitchen with the water running, and it can hear me in the living room.
Nice.
And it's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's essentially just like the same superior sound you get from the One system. Now you've got some voice activated goodness. And that's thing. These are no mere Bluetooth speakers. These are actually integrated through your Wi-Fi, so you can actually mesh your whole house if you want to. You can sprinkle these throughout the room, and you can have your whole house rocking, or you can control each room individually.
Mm-hmm.
And it like integrates with all your favorite, like automatically detected my Google Play library, and I can play anything from that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like all the popular. It even has, like, I use Pocket Casts, which is a popular but, you know, not like probably the Android podcast app. It integrated that perfectly too. I'm so goddamn lazy that I'm using this thing like I'm playing Destiny, and I want to know if it's time. Like, do I have enough time for another match? I could get my phone out of my pocket and look, or I could say, hey, Alexa, what time is it? And she tells me. And then I can tell her, hey, Alexa, set an alarm.
Alexa is a little verbose when you ask it for the temperature. a little verbose. I could take maybe a truncation of it. But the thing that it's great for that I found out the other day is setting timers. Holy shit, because I used to set them all on my phone, and I have to pull out my phone, hold the button for 2 seconds, and say, Siri, whatever.
Who's got 2 seconds in their life?
Not me.
Who's got
Not
time
me.
To pull shit out of their pockets? That's what I'm saying. This is for the lazy man and woman. It makes your life, like, you could conceivably spend an entire weekend on your couch.
Yeah.
You could, I mean, I...
if your pizza man will come into the threshold of your home.
Yes. If he's not like a vampire and requires an invitation, if he just like, you know, you might have to slink to the door. But like, it just enables you to be just complete sloth. And it sounds amazing while you're doing it.
Yep.
It's like I said, and it's not, I'm not exactly an audiophile. I've kind of got 10 ears, but you can read... any review you want, everybody's gushing about this stuff because these are quality, well-made, very simple to configure, wireless home audio. You don't have to run wires through. If you got a place to plug them in for power, you're set. And it's just amazing how well they work. I'm gushing because I just love these damn products. What's the deal? What's Sonos got cooked up for our listeners?
Well, I feel like they missed a real opportunity with Stranger Things because they could have done 11% off and made the code really just pop at Stranger 11, but they went with Stranger 10.
Oh, the 1% would be totally worth it for the tie-in.
It would be.
Maybe next
it would
time.
Be. But well, yeah, next year we'll come back
Season
with Stranger 3 11.
Season 3 will get in an ear, or maybe this 8 character will become big and they can get a little cost conscious.
There you
conscious.
Go.
It'll be Stranger
8%.
8. No, Aaron. No.
So the current offer that we have going, none of these fictional offers, they are giving our listeners of our podcast 10% off one order of $2,500 or less. That's important. You don't have to spend $2,500. And in fact, if you do spend $2,500, you don't get the discount. So there's that incentive. Perverse, I know. It's available for a limited time only, and it cannot be combined with other discounts or promotions. What you got to do is go to Sonos.com, use the promo code STRANGER10. That's STRANGER10 at Sonos.com to receive it. And that's it. That easy.
You get to do it. If you want your stuff to sound good and you want to never move from your couch again, or also have Sonos and live a full, healthy life with plenty of exercise, it's compatible both ways. That's in the talking points. You don't have to be a couch potato to use the technology.
No, you're not.
But it's super cool if you want to. I got a question, and if you answer wrong, I might fight you.
Oh, boy.
Are you warming up to Bob yet?
Bob is Bob seems like a very pleasant person to be around, but he seems he's trying.
We're going to have to fight.
He's trying so damn hard.
I mean, you are right. You are right.
Too hard, in my
opinion.
He's
probably trying to hustle things along a little too fast, but he won me over because when he said, you know, I noticed my JVS is banged up, I'm like, oh, here it is.
Yeah,
this
here's
is where
the
he
asshole.
Turns into the asshole. He's more concerned. He's like... It made me review the tape, and I saw Will getting bullied, and like he has been. And I'm like, this guy, he's too fucking good. He's a good guy, and yeah, he's trying too hard. But you know what? If that's his only sin, I like Bob, and I will fight people who don't.
You're right. I mean, Bob is probably
that was just
a guy
great
like.
Scene, a great scene, and how it like was. You know, it's like I was the guy that got beat up, and you know things were going well, but now look at me, I'm managing a Radio Shack, and I'm dating Joyce Breyer. So,
yep, and he seems great with Will. So.
Yeah.
He gives him some really, truly terrible advice for
thing.
This scenario.
Like,
but
I was skeptical of him saying he made the connection, but by God, you know, that fucking Baldo Baggins story stuck with Will to his great peril.
Yeah.
But,
terrible advice in this one scenario.
Oh, you know what the other shocker? We found out that Billy and Max are not brother and sister, at least according to Billy.
What the hell?
I don't know.
What are they?
I don't know. They have weird energy between them, like a weird hostile.
Is it possible that he's also a woman?
I think he's more Robert Downey Jr. than
and she's a boy.
No, what? What the fuck is this coming from?
That would make
I get
her
that he
his
looks
brother.
Like he's got. No.
Yeah, if she was a boy and
he's
he was
not.
A girl,
she's
he doesn't
not.
He doesn't have to be a girl for that scenario. But.
Right, but why are you thinking Max is a boy?
Because it's not his sister, but it's definitely like someone close to him, and
sister. No, I think that like maybe she's adopted, or maybe he's adopted, or maybe they're foster kids thrown together. I don't know. Like I would like to see their situation, and it's also telling when the boys ask, "Oh, are you rich?" And she goes, "Oh no, I live at what blah blah something street." And the boys will go, "Oh, like she's living on the Skid Row."
yeah. of Hawkins. She's in.
Maybe.
They got a trailer in the middle of one of these blighted pumpkin patches. but no, I feel like that we're going to find some terrible things about their background and home life, and it's going to be very sad.
Maybe she's like number 007 or something.
Well,
and
seven,
they're going to have a psychic battle over Mike.
Seven's the scariest one because she 8, 9, and 10.
Oh, Jesus.
And then 11's next. So,
speaking of dads, apparently Bob works at Radio Shack.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting because, okay, so when Nancy is talking to Jonathan...
That's the horrifying vision we'll have of the future. I see thousands of Radio Shacks being destroyed, though.
Yeah.
I see you out of a job, Bob.
but
Scotty
something,
won't save you.
Nancy sees a Walkman, I think it is, this guy listening to a Walkman, has suddenly an epiphany about revealing this information about Barb to her parents.
She's gonna...
And I don't know what that is, but I like that it's tied in... That we don't know when happens, that it's tied in with Bob somehow.
Yeah.
But I think I assume there's only one Radio Shack in Hawkins.
Oh, yeah.
So they're probably going to get mixed up with Bob somehow.
Yeah, well, and they've already been to Radio Shack and got the tech. I imagine it's some kind of recorder, but it's not immediately obvious what she's trying to do. I think that, do you agree that she called Barb's mom deliberately to get the NSA or whatever listening on the phone call?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then she's going to go and what with the recorder?
I don't know. She has some kind of plan which involves tricking the people monitoring her into this false meeting, potentially false meeting, or into some kind of bamboozle at the meeting.
All right. I got another question to ask you about another man and see if you get this one right.
Okay.
Can Paul Reiser be trusted?
No, fuck
Paul
no.
Reiser cannot be trusted. Like, I came into that bias against him, but his smug, dismissive attitude and like, like this is fucking Aliens Paul Reiser.
Yeah, I don't.
He's gonna fuck you. He's gonna fuck you, Hopper.
I don't trust this guy, and it's not because he's shown me a history of being untrustworthy.
Paul Reiser in an 80s science fiction
it's
film.
Because he's Paul Reiser.
Yeah, and it's gonna be glorious when Hopper lays him the fuck out.
Oh, you know it's coming.
Like that big, beefy Hopper hook is just going to come and lay him out.
I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be glorious.
So good.
Then he's going to somehow throw him out an airlock on the planet Earth. Maybe he'll throw him through the gate.
There you go. Into the waiting jaws of D'Artagnan.
Yeah. It was badass, but why did Lucas flying crane kick this door open in school?
Man,
was it locked? Can he just bust through any locked door he wants? Is he just like not like, does he just like can do a sweet spin kick and decides to do it? Like,
I don't know, man, but it worked. He got that door open.
That was a really athletic unnecessary but athletic move.
Yep.
Man, what a great episode. What the hell, I mean, shit, what else do we need to say? I really like the scene of Hopper reading to Eleven, and he's reading her Anne of Green Gables, which, of course, Elle, that's enough. First of all, he's filling her head with all these romantic notions.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, but it's an appropriate thing because, you know, it's this orphan who wants a home and wants to belong. And I thought, you know, there's certainly worse things you can read a kid.
Yeah.
What else do we want to talk about?
I'm curious what Dustin's connection to D'Artagnan is. Or actually,
what do you mean?
I don't know if he specifically has one. I mean, it seems to not recoil from him, not screech at him like it did Will. Do you think it's that it has an affinity for Dustin, or does it have a dislike of Will for some reason?
I think it sees Will as... It sees Will as the enemy somehow?
Yeah, that's kind of what it felt like.
Yeah.
Or it could see Dustin as, like, I don't know, its caretaker, maybe. Or maybe a little of both. Who knows?
Huh. Well, anyway, I like I said, this is just a great fucking show, and it's going to be really hard to not watch anymore until tomorrow.
I just have to ask those questions aloud so that they will answer them next episode.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
I want to be sure I get all the questions out there.
Yeah. Do you want to consider a little bit of forum feedback?
Sure.
Because
let's do
it's it. Like, I just looked at my email box and people are flying through this series and I don't want to get spoiled.
Okay.
And nobody's labeling like just chapter and verse though. So, let me go through here.
First up, D on the forums spotted a little anachronism. She says, there's one thing that bugged me. Was KFC called KFC in the 80s? Wasn't it still Kentucky Fried Chicken? And apparently, King Cobra did some research into the name change history, and they're right. This 1991 is when Kentucky Fried Chicken became KFC.
Yeah, wasn't it like
you fucked just, up? You fucked up there, the Duffer Brothers.
Wasn't it just like common usage? I don't. Maybe it was printed on like the packaging.
No, it was.
Or
yeah,
it was like
it was like modern buckets.
Well, then they fucked up.
Yeah, because I feel like that's on the prop department. Like you could surely find a contemporary picture of a 1984 bucket and just make one.
They found the Three Musketeers bars, and I'm sure those
were those period
bars
too?
From 1984. Yeah.
Corey from New Scotland says, I thought this place took place in Hawkins, Pennsylvania, but Aaron keeps saying it's Hawkins, Indiana. Is that just wishful thinking on his part? No, it takes place in the fictional town of Hawkins, Indiana. Mm-hmm. You can see, like, I noted with some amount of pride that the Indiana flag was flying appropriately to school and stuff. And, like, you know, I'm from the birthplace
the
of
blue
the...
blue and gold, huh?
I'm from the birthplace of the state flag of Indiana, Mooresville, so... What little pride I have in that that fact is coming through there. But yeah, it's definitely set in Indiana. I think that's it. Like I said, I was excited because we got a ton of email, but like I just looked through it and maybe I'll have tonight or tomorrow I'll have Cecily go through and sort the spoilers into spoiler free because I think she's a bit ahead of me at this point.
She gonna be done with it tonight?
Well, I mean, that would be a huge turnabout. That if her and Jack are ahead of me on something because of the damn podcast, that would be some real turnabout.
Yeah,
but man, this continues to be really great.
It's great. I'm loving it. Season two so far, just as good as season one.
So if you'd like to send feedback for consideration for either in the day feedback or. If you want to send it in for the season two wrap up, it also would be helpful, I guess, if you at least say in the subject line what chapter it's about, or if it's like wrap up, so I can more confidently read it. StrangerThings@baldmove.com. Again, we've got multiple threads for each episode. Well, we have multiple threads, one for each episode, over at forums.baldmove.com. Follow along with our marathon by going to baldmove.com or following us on social media. Search for Bald Move there, and I think that's it.
Yeah, if you're listening to the podcast, make sure you subscribe to it so you can get the updates when we release new episodes.
As soon as we drop them,
because we don't know what time they're going to be out on each of these days, but throughout tomorrow and Sunday, we'll also have more of them.
Right,
and if you're feeling froggy, leave us a review. We can always use some of those. That's about it. We will see you guys tomorrow for episode 4.
Until then, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jim.
See ya.